Now, I've got to declare some things to you this morning just to be obedient before the Lord, that I began a process this morning. I believe this with all my heart. I was outside on the porch just talking to the Lord, and I began a process this morning of healing and restoration for my hands and feet. And I have a promise from the Lord of that. And I had to be obedient in saying some things and doing some things today to bring that about. And it's just an act of faith. Healing's, did you know that healing is not always instantaneous? The Lord laid his hands on a blind man one time and he removed his hands and he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men, but they're like trees." And then he laid his hands on him again and he said, "What do you see now?" He said, I see clearly." Healing sometimes is a process. And what the pastor brought to us this morning, there is a Bible truth of suffering and what suffering can do for you. It is very advantageous to all of us. And so I'm appreciative and thankful to the Lord for what he has, the journey he's allowed me to take. And I'm sure you are as well. And I was thinking about Dave, and I know Dave's been on a journey with Sandra, but what an amazing truth that the Holy Spirit revealed through our pastor in that passage, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And it kind of, when he done that, I got to tell you, there is a plumb line that runs all the way through the Word of God. All the way through the Word of God. Now everybody say, "I'm listening." This is important. There's a plumb line that runs all the way through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? And that's called the letter of the Word. Okay? But then there is something called the Spirit of the Word. And the Spirit of the Word gives revelation to the letter of the Word and makes it come alive. In other words, that verse of Scripture does mean when death comes, we will be present with the Lord. That verse of Scripture also means that anytime you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord if you know Jesus. Yeah. Please say amen to that. What an amazing illustration that is of the phenomenal integrity and divinity of the Word of God. And that's kind of what we were talking about last week, in the integrity of God's Word. I don't think that we have exhausted those resources at all. Matter of fact, yesterday, and I don't know why that I've never seen this. I don't know why that I've never, I can't explain to you why I've never seen this. But it came to me yesterday, me and Alan was talking, and listen to this. The seven letters that Jesus wrote to the church in the book of Revelation correlates with exactly seven letters Paul wrote to churches in the New Testament. I've never seen that before. Paul wrote seven letters to seven churches. Now, to some, he wrote more than one letter, but it was to the same church. Seven churches. Jesus dictated seven letters to seven churches. You have in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 the sum total of the New Testament writings of the Pauline epistles being played out right in front of you. Can I tell y'all something? Only God can do those things. Only God can do that. Only the Lord can take a book written by over 40 authors across a span of 2,000 years and fully integrate the Word of God together. Only God can do that. Do y'all understand that? Do you understand that? Shake your head. It's okay for you to at least do that. You can shake your head. That is of a mathematical human impossibility, proving that the Bible had to be given to us from somewhere out of our time dimension. It had to come by the eternal essence of God. So God breathed out His Word and we have it. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to finish up chapter 4. All right? And then we'll slide into chapter 5 next week, which puts a a lot of work. I'm gonna have to do a lot of work between now and the next couple of weeks to get chapter 5 written out for you so that you can put that in your books. How many of you remember we're even doing that? I hope so. And so what you have through chapter 4 is just kind of a verse-by-verse insight, and then we're teaching through it. The teaching will give you more than what's in the written form, but at least the written form will give you a guide for you to read it yourself, and then the Holy Spirit can speak to you these truths as well. In chapter 4, before we start with the text, I'm going to read today the whole chapter. And I want you to listen closely. It's just 11 verses, but we're going to begin, and then we're going to kind of summarize what we've talked about so far, some of the key things we've learned from chapter 4, and then we'll put a cap on it with the last few verses. Listen to what's said, chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now those are the first 7 verses. We're going to consider verses 8 through 11 this morning. But before we get there, let's just summarize key things that we learned in chapter 4 that I think are significant. The first thing our pastor mentioned for us earlier, chapter 4, verse 1, after this. It's one of the most encouraging thoughts that I've ever come in contact with. How many of you believe there is an after this? I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a little noise. How many of you are excited that there is an after this? If this is all you have, then we have a lot of misery. But there's an after this. Now let me give you another prospect that you can get excited about. There is an after this during this. I can tell you're not there yet. There is an after this, during this. If you understand what Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer, where he said, on earth as it is, where? When we congregate, it ought to be a picture of what heaven is like. I'm not sure you're going to be this quiet in heaven. I'm not sure you're going to be daydreaming in heaven either. I'm not sure you're even going to be thinking about what's for lunch in heaven. You're not going to be concerned with time. You won't be concerned with difficulties, hardship, adversity. As a matter of fact, what our pastor brought us this morning earlier is going to be a permanent essence, and that is of complete joy. And if it's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven now, that means there's an after this, during this. That's the target you and I as believers hope to attain when we congregate together, is to celebrate and enjoy and engage in a little bit of after this, during this. Amen. I'm not connecting with you, I don't think, fully. Acts 2 gives us another picture of that when Peter says, because what had happened, the Holy Spirit came. And people was acting so crazy because of the Holy Spirit, everybody thought they were drunk. Did you know that there is a state in the presence of God where a people of the earth will look at you and say, you're foolish, you're a drunk person. And you've had nothing to drink, you're just wrapped up in the presence and glory of God. That seems to be a real thing. Because Peter said, no, these are not drunk as you suppose, but he said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of. Well, what was that? That in the last days, the Holy Spirit will come. Now, how many of you are saved and know you're saved? The scripture says this, you've been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So you are to be a this is that. That goes along with the after this. All of those principles can be found there. It's an important thing that we learned in chapter 4. We also learned that after this, a door was open in heaven, the possibility of a door being opened. Then we learned from verse 1 that we can actually, if y'all can hear me, I pray that you can hear me, and I know there is a doctrine out there called the ascension doctrine. You got to be careful of. But can I tell you that in this verse, from a spiritual standpoint, there are times when God says, come up hither. In other words, leave that plane of existence you're on and be enveloped in this realm of eternity where the Holy Spirit can speak to you, reveal to you, bless you, and ordain you and empower you for service. I think it would do us all a little good. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just help us today. But I think it'd do us all a little good to leave this mundane existence of earth and rise up to enter the presence of God and meet the Holy Spirit even today. Don't you think that'd be good? We learned that that's a possibility in the spirit world from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I could basically say it like this. After this, after what? I'm practically applying. Give me a little leeway here and a little grace. Can I tell you, after your salvation, you can come up hither, even while being here, and have after this, during this. You can have that right now. Your this can be transformed into that. That's the mystery of the body of Christ in which we're a part of. Please tell me y'all are hearing a little bit of that. All right, so in chapter 4, verse 2, he says this, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Okay, now what does that mean exactly? Well, there was a call given to John. John, I want you to come up hither. John said, as in hearing that voice and that command, immediately he was in the Spirit. Do you realize you can be transformed immediately? Do you know that? Let's go back to what our pastor was talking about. You can walk in here sad and immediately walk into joy and your sadness is gone. How many has ever experienced that before? How many of us ever thought you were so depressed, didn't know if you was going to be able to get to church, you walked through the door and something strange happened. As soon as you walked through the door, you felt better. That's an immediate engagement of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. You're going to face some immediate changes one day. Let me give you one change. It's not going to be too long till you're going to hear a voice shout and a trumpet sound. And it's going to be in the middle of the air, and you're going to immediately be transformed from who you are into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. That's literally going to happen. Spiritually, you can enjoy some of that right now. John said immediately he was in the Spirit. And here's where it gets interesting in chapter 4. There was a throne set in heaven, verse 2. What is the throne? We've talked about it. The throne of Revelation 4 is the throne of judgment. We know that by what's fixing to proceed out of the throne, We know that by the remainder of the book of Revelation, that judgment is to come. Now, this is the things that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but you need to talk about it. I don't know if you remember this. I'm here to remind you of what we've already talked about previously. There's a difference between wrath, judgment, and consequences. Big difference. How many of you believe you reap what you sow? How many of you believe the Bible says, be sure your sin's going to find you out? How many of you believe there's coming a day when you're going to stand before the Lord and be judged for what you've done in this body, whether it be good or bad? How many of you believe that day's coming? It's appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Don't fear the judgment seat. It's a judgment based on rewards, not based on sin. I need to say that again. Did y'all hear that? Our sin has been judged already at Calvary and paid for. I'm giving y'all every opportunity in the world to have revival today. If you don't take advantage of this, I don't know what to do for you. That we're going to stand before God, but it's not based off of our sin. My sin is gone. Amen. And so is yours. That's why we can immediately engage in the Spirit. But our works for Him will be judged as to the motive behind our works. Why'd you do what you did? Did you do it for the applause of men? That work's going to be burned up. Did you do it for fame or fortune? That work's going to be burned up. Can I tell you, if you've done it to glorify the blessed Savior, then you'll receive rewards based off of what you've done. And I got better news for you, we're going to get to in a minute in this passage. You get to take those rewards and lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not a wonderful thing? So don't worry too much about the throne of judgment. Let me give you some news right quickly. In the age we're living in now, we can approach the throne of grace. We can even find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. How many of you have ever found yourself being in need of God's grace and mercy? Matter of fact, let's just get right down to where we live. How many of you need grace and mercy today? Thank God His throne is still issuing out grace and mercy. However, we find ourselves in a precarious spot here. And here's what I mean by that. We live in a country called the United States of America. Unfortunately, all you have to do is look around to see kind of what's out there. And I gotta tell you, it's not looking good. Our nation has turned our back on God. We invited God out several decades ago. We began this way. We didn't deal with the adults. We dealt with the children. And so we invited God out of the public schools back in the 60s, you know. And for several decades now, we've just been a generation after a generation after a generation has been raised without God. And as a result of it, it's produced leaders now that's leading our nation, but they're leading in ways that are away from God. Please, everybody at least agree with what I'm saying. You can tell if the wind's blowing by sticking your head out the door and seeing if the leaves on the trees is moving. Right? So it don't take a rocket scientist to figure those things out. Now watch this. As a result of living here in America, the consequences you and I are going to deal with. Amen. So you might as well just get your sword ready and stand to fight for the faith. The writer of the book of Jude said, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation, but I couldn't. It was needful for me to write to you to say, fight, contend for the faith. In this day, those of us that can have after this, during this, and can be that while we're this, we are supposed to be the army of God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying any at all? This throne of Revelation 4 is a throne of judgment that's going to issue out judgment to the earth. And then during the last part of the tribulation, and we're going to get into this later, but the tribulation is broken down into two parts. First 3.5 years to the day Daniel describes as the time of tribulation. Last 3.5 years to the day Daniel describes as the time of great tribulation. As a matter of fact, Jesus described it this way. It's going to be tribulation such as the world has never seen before. It's called the time of the wrath of God. You need to pray that you're not here during that time. Matter of fact, can I tell you, I've determined I'm not going to be here during that time. I'm going to rise to meet the Lord in the middle of the air before that time is ever poured out on the earth. Again, I'm giving you an opportunity to engage in revival, and you're just looking at me. At least grin, all right? Yeah. So we go on through this picture of the judgment, and it's described here in the next verse, verse 3, as he's got a sardine stone, a jasper stone, an emerald. Those are the stones that was part of the breastplate of the Old Testament priest. It gives to us the priesthood of Christ, but even more than that, it shows to us our own priesthood. I've got some good news for you. Watch this. Listen to this. You don't need me to get to Jesus. Where are y'all? Did you know you have access to the very creator of the universe right now just by mentioning his name? God gave you that access. He gave you every opportunity to know him to any depth that you so desire. Yet we neglect it day after day after day by neglecting his word, by neglecting to pray, by neglecting to simply say, "Hey, Jesus, can I share with you my heart?" Dear Lord, you have access to the very throne of God, which, by the way, is issuing out grace at this very moment. Amen. Did you know from the storehouse of grace comes every known blessing? Let me say that one again. From the storehouse of God's grace comes every known blessing. There's not a single empowerment of the Spirit that you won't find issued no other way except through his grace. And he has specifically set his throne up to issue out grace right now. We have an advocate with the Father, one mediator between man and God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, because of the blood of Christ, I can access the very throne of God. I'm getting a little bit out of hand today. I know I am. But watch this. Listen, this morning on the porch, I got an issue of God's grace. I heard the Lord whisper to me, "Hey, I'm going to heal your hands, Jim. I'm going to heal your feet. Walk with me. Keep walking with me.
Amen.
Keep going." And I'll tell you, listen, whatever I've got to do to keep going, I'm not going to yield to what the enemy would love to do as to give me a sprig of doubt in my mind. No, no, I'm going to keep worshiping God with hands or without. I'm going to keep worshiping God with feet or without. But can I tell you, because of that, God's given me a promise. I get brand new hands. Brand new feet, God's going to heal. I believe that. I don't know when it's coming, but I'm waiting for it. Seems like I'm feeling a little better right now. Wouldn't that be awesome? All of that from the throne of God right now. I don't have time to point out all of these things, but let's get to the text because this is so significant and I want you to hear it. Revelation 4 verse 8, it's the scene in heaven. Here's what it says. "And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come."
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast crowns before the throne, saying, worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And I love how this chapter ends. Listen. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Is that not awesome? And I know that we don't have a whole lot of time. I'm going to give you, because we've got to move to chapter 5 starting next week, and I know that. But I want you to hear this because it's so vitally significant to what our pastor taught us this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Why do you need strength? Because you're fixing to face adversity. What's the weapon against adversity? Joy. Don't make no sense. You can't make logic out of that. That comes from spiritual understanding. I mean, listen, the world looks at that and say, they'd say, y'all are crazy. How can you have joy when everything's falling down around you? Can I, I'm nearly 60 years old now, working on it. And can I tell you something? I look back over my life, and there's been some times I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be on earth. It was just nasty. I was nasty. How many of you ever got so nasty that you didn't like yourself? I've been there. And can I tell you that the only way that you can get out of there is to find joy? Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand. Revelation 4 is the throne of God fixing to issue out judgment. How does it end? With the whole host of heaven, and I'll even show you this in a minute, and even the essence of who God is in all-out worship because of judgment. And here's what it teaches us practically. It teaches us that in a practical sense, there is absolutely, positively no excuse if you don't worship God.
Amen.
You are left without excuse if you don't give God praise. You are completely without excuse if you don't lift up your hands to the holy God in heaven and say, Lord, I thank you for the trial. I thank you for the adversity. I thank you for the joy. That's where your joy is going to come from. That's when God will supernaturally infuse joy into who you are, and that joy will be your strength to sustain you through life. I'll never forget this. I got so discouraged at one point when I was pastoring down here in Statesville. I got so discouraged because it seemed like, and this has been something we've talked about just recently, it seemed like that I could get up and teach people the truth and they'd look at you like you. You know, about like y'all do most of the time, right? And I'd get discouraged. I would. I'd get discouraged, and I'd say, Lord, I'm trying to give them every bit of truth that you tell me, and it's like they're not getting it, Lord. And I was having a conversation with a man, and I told him, I said, I feel like the only thing I've taught them to do is just to get their hands up. Here's what he said. He said, if you've taught them that, you've taught them all you need to teach them. Boy, I would to God that you and I together could learn the value of just simply praising God, to enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Whether our day goes good, our week goes good, or our week goes bad, walk in here with your hands up, because you're fixing to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're fixing to engage His Spirit. Is that not an awesome thing? So there's praise all around the throne. Here's what we're going to talk about real quickly. I'm just going to go through this quickly. The participants of praise in this chapter. The angelic beings. The four beasts. We talked a little bit about the four beasts last week. And here's what it says in verse number 7. The first beast was like a lion. Second beast like a calf. Third beast had the face as a man. Fourth beast was like a flying eagle. It parallels with Ezekiel's vision of the same angelic creatures. It also parallels with the Word of God, the Gospels, and how Jesus was presented. In Matthew, He was presented as the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark presents Him as the servant or the ox that you put the yoke to. Luke presents Him as the Son of Man in His humanity. John presents Him as the Son of God in His deity. So you can parallel these four beasts even with that. It says in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about Him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night. Now watch this, listen. If you can get a picture of this. Six wings. With two, they cover their face. With two, they cover their body. With two, they fly. And there's eyes within and without, paralleling the Word of God we talked about, right? That's all discerning. A lot of commentators look at these four beasts as being the attributes of God, that He's all-knowing, He's all-seeing. He's everywhere at all times, and all of that's right. All of that can be applied to this. But here's what I want you to know. These angelic creatures have a job, and they rest not day and night. That is, in time. Now, if we was to take that passage and really go into depth with it and then practically apply it, we could begin to understand the angelic duties that surround you. Did you know, do you realize that you have angels dispatched to watch over you? Did you know that? Watch, listen, guardian angels is not a fairy tale. It's biblical. Everybody say amen. Military angels is not a fairy tale. It's biblical. Messenger angels is not a fairy tale. It's biblical. Even musical angels is not a fairy tale. They're biblical. Do you know you have angels dispatched to watch over you? For example, I'll give you this as an application of that. There was a time when Satan presented himself before the throne. And God said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, first the question was, "What have you been doing?" Satan said, "Been walking to and fro, seeking who I can devour." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan said, "Yeah, I have considered him, but I can't get to him. You have a hedge built around it." What is that hedge? Angels to guard and protect. Did you know you have that? Do you know why you have that? Because there is also dispatched from the headquarters of hell demons. Evil spirits sent with an assignment to draw you away from what God's destiny is for your life. Do you real good to grab a hold of C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. How many of you have read that before? You need to find it. You need to read it. You need to, also a novel called This Present Darkness. But you need to read that. You need to get an understanding of what evil. Listen, did you know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So all of this gives us application to spiritual warfare as you read through this book. But it goes on here with the four beasts being a participant of praise around the throne of God. Listen to what was the four beasts. These are angelic beings created for the purpose of what we see them doing around the throne. That's the purpose they have. They rest not day and night. And what are they doing? They're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Two things are noticed by these four beasts: the holiness of God and the eternality of God. That is, He has always been and He always will be. And because He's always been and He always will be, guess what? That means He's also the great I Am. He covers the whole dimension of time. Here's something else that we can learn here. We made the correlation between these beasts and the Gospels in the last verse. The representation of the Word of God is seen in the surroundings as well as the people and even the angels of heaven. So the correlation of the Word of God being there's a reason why that I'm doing that, and there's a reason why I'm going to continuously find everything that I can about the Word of God through the book of Revelation, because I have a main goal with you and my time here on this earth with you. And it's this. Listen, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm not here to be your pal. I don't even really care if you like me or you don't like me. But what I do want to do is motivate you to grab a hold of the Word of God and say, it's God's book and I'm going to consume it.
Amen.
That I want to do. The purpose they serve is for the declaration of His holiness around the throne. Therefore, whether mercy or judgment, the holiness of God is the center of what flows from the throne. Did y'all hear that? Important truth. That's an important truth. As a matter of fact, it gives you understanding into the whole rest of the book of Revelation. It's about the declaration of the holiness of God. Watch. There's two ways a nation can go. There's two ways an individual can go. There's two ways a church can go. And that is, you either agree with the holiness of God or you violate the holiness of God. Did you hear that? You either agree with the holiness of God or you violate the holiness of God. I've got to hurry. I don't want us to run out of time. But listen to this. What makes heaven is that there is no violation of God's holiness there. I'm not connected. Do you know that's a punchline? It's supposed to. That line there requires a response. What makes heaven is that there is no violation of God's holiness there. Did you know that nothing can enter heaven that defiles it?
Amen.
Did y'all hear that? Now, let me show you grace and mercy. Okay? Watch this. If it's true that we can have some after this, during this, that means that even though I'm the wretch that I am, I can't defile the holiness of God. If I'm covered by His grace and His mercy. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but boy, it sure does to me. Because I know I'm a wretch. I know me well enough. Let me tell you something. The things that all y'all know about me can't convict me near as bad
is the things I know about me. And God says, I'm going to cover you by my grace so that you don't defile my holiness in my presence. Dear Lord in heaven. Now, it don't get better than that. Nothing you can do to top that one. I get to have a little heaven on earth, and I know that when I'm there in that place, there is nothing in me that can defile the holiness of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whew. Let me give you the other participants of praise in the throne. It's the 24 elders. Quickly, we'll do this and we'll start wrapping it up. The 24 elders represent the saints of God from both Old and New Testament saints. They are the redeemed from both covenants. We're going to take a deeper look into the 24 elders in chapter 5 because they're presented again. I'll just give you this as a preview. Hopefully we'll get there. It says these 24 elders are the redeemed. Calls them that. So that means they're not angels. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
So what we have in chapter 4 is a conjoining between angelic beings and the saints of God being represented. I got to tell you, this is it's something else. Everybody say, I'm listening right quick. I don't want to lose you. Watch this. The 24 elders also proves that the church is in heaven in Revelation 4 and we are no longer on the earth in Revelation 6. That ought to excite you. I mean, if you believe this book's even real, you ought to be jumping plumb out of your skin by now with such truth. The 24 elders, they represent the saints of God. They are the redeemed. The purpose of the gathering around the throne is for the worship of God. Now, here's the best part. There is an element of worship that only the redeemed can engage in. The angels know nothing of it. Matter of fact, if I could just share this with you. How many of you know God keeps secrets pretty well? You run into that in studying the Word of God. Matter of fact, watch. He's still keeping a few secrets. But he kept one secret all the way through the Old Testament. And the secret was you. The church was a secret. A mystery hid within the heart of God. He didn't tell nobody till he told Paul. I can prove that to you. But he whispered to Paul this secret about the church. Satan didn't know anything about it. Let me tell you, there's a secret still going on Satan don't know about. It's about the rapture of the church. Satan has no idea when Jesus is coming back in the middle of the air. He just knows he's coming. You and I have no idea when he's coming. All we know is it's close. And we know he's a coming. Everybody say amen to that. Here's what I can tell you. When Jesus was being crucified, I believe this with all of my heart. The angels had no idea what was going on. One was dispatched to come and announce his birth. I believe fully expecting all of the earth to bow and worship. But he was rejected. I'll guarantee you, if our ears could have heard what was going on in heaven, how many of you want to bet that there was a large group of angels trying to lobby the very throne of God, saying, let us go down there and bring the prince home. He's being rejected. Let us go down there and bring him back here because they're beating him and spitting on him. The Bible said the angels desired to look into it. That's what the Bible says. Peter wrote that down. Let us go down there. Don't you see that the Prince of Heaven is suffering?
In the Garden of Gethsemane, I can't even imagine. The book of Psalms said that the bulls of Bashan gnawed at his flesh. He even said, my soul is so exceedingly sorrowful, I think I'm going to die. Jesus said that. Can't you hear the angels saying, please let us go and bring him back? Jesus himself said in the garden, he said, don't you know I could call legions of angels to come? Please let us go. But no, there was a secret in the heart of God. And the secret was your redemption and my redemption. There is a praise and a worship that's going to go on in heaven that the angels can't have anything to do with. It's the song of the redeemed.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. It's what God created us for. It's what He created us for. I'm just going to close. I've got more to say, but I'm going to close with this. The last line of this chapter so intrigues me. I'm skipping over so much stuff, but it says, for thou hast created all things. Now listen to this one. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Okay, now grab a hold of this. Did you know I'm still in the process of being created? As a matter of fact, listen to this. Because I am in Christ, that means in the heart of Christ, I was before the world was ever formed. Mystery after mystery, secret after secret was unfolded to Paul. And Paul said this, that we were created in Him before the foundation of the world. Which means, because I am, that means I was. And because I was and am, that means I'm going to be. My were created is for the praise of God here on earth. My are being created is for the praise I'll offer when I get to heaven in a more perfected way. And did you know that I am described in Revelation 4:11 as the pleasure of God? I want you just to think about that for a second. I'm done. Just think about it for a second. You and I created for the pleasure of God. God fixed it so you would bring to Him great pleasure. If that ain't grace, I don't know what is. If that ain't mercy, I don't know what is. I guess here's the thing, my desire for you and me, but us, is that somehow, boy, I'm so thankful that we found this place that we can get together and just praise God and bring pleasure to God. And as I please God and you please God, I don't know that you can fathom this, we bring pleasure to each other. Would you not like to please God? Really? Then you got to move out of your comfort zone and start praising Him. You got to move out of your comfort zone and start giving Him praise, honor. We didn't get to the honor and glory part, but you know, if you want to please God, you've got to engage in the worship that belongs to Him. Regardless of what other people think. Regardless of what you look like. And regardless of what you feel like. Because when you do that, that's when the joy that our pastor was talking about will invade your body. And you'll become a manifestation of the divine destiny that God has for your life. For His pleasure, we are and were created. I would love to take time, maybe if the Lord will allow, I don't know. I'd love to take time and show you that are and were part and how it parallels with the God who was and is to come. But I can tell you this, watch, listen. If that book ever opens up to you, where you can see all these little connections, then you'll say, oh God, it's so overwhelming. It so blows my mind. Your grace for me and your forgiveness and your mercy, and I can't hardly stand it. And you'll just be like a zombie here on earth. Your body just a shell. You're going to be flying somewhere else. And you got to get there. If you don't, the pain's too much. See? Everything's too much if you don't get there. You got to get there. To that come up hither part. That after this. That this is that. All of those things. Where the Holy Spirit just sits down in here and He goes, and there's that wind that blows that sail right toward Jesus. How many of you want to?
Amen.
It starts with a life of praise and worship and honor being given to the blessed Son of God. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just bow your heads for just a second. If you want to be a vessel of praise and worship to the Lord. You say, what can I do for God? You can do that. Buddy, you can start right there. How many of you say, you know what? I'm going to commit to being a vessel of worship and praise to the Lord in whatever way I can. If you're going to commit to that, just hold your hand up. Now, God sees you. Hold your hand up if you're committing to that. All right. Lord, you see every hand that's raised. I pray there'll be a demonstration and a manifestation come out of your people every time we gather that is honoring to you, that's giving worship and honor and praise to your holy name. God, we do it now in an imperfect way, but if you'll show up, then it'll be more perfect. And thank you for giving us a refuge where we won't violate your holiness. God, forgive us where we have failed you. Lord Jesus, we want you to be more Lord of our lives than you've ever been. Please.
Amen.
Please. Anoint and bless beyond what we can even ask or think, Lord, and we'll give you great praise because of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen.